You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Americans for Truth Hour. This is Pete LaBarbera. I'm president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And today we have, we're pre-taping. Most people know that. We're pre-taping, and we have the privilege today of speaking with two of my favorite people, Matt Barber with the Liberty Council, who's also on the board of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, and John Biver, who is also on the board of Americans for Truth and does some great work with a local group in the Chicago area, championnews.net. Right, John?
That's correct.
Welcome, guys.
Good to be with you. It's nice to be in studio, too, Pete.
Yeah, we're in studio for a change. Usually I'm talking to people over the phone wire, and we sort of wanted to do, I think it's going to be a two-part show, reprising the year, reprising 2010, and then also talking about, you know, where we go from here. So, guys, it's a privilege to have you on. I deeply respect the work that you do. Matt, you're a little bit shy. That's a problem. You know, Matt just has a trouble, you know, giving voice to what he really feels. I'm joking, of course. Matt Barber, the gay activists call him Bam Bam, and it's always a stitch. My favorite homosexual activist distortion of Matt is, I got to tell this story. This is a classic. It goes to show you the lengths to which homosexual activists will go to lie and make their opponents look like wackos. Matt and I were at a rally. I can't remember what we were there for. There was a homosexual activist event, and we were on the other side. And Matt was talking to some reporter or something or some activist. And, you know, he moves his hands a lot. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up with a shutter, with one of those cameras. The shutter is going real fast. And she's taking a million pictures. Well, she managed to catch Matt's hand going down, like sort of like
I was limp-wristed.
Like,
right?
You're, yeah, limp-wristed. Yeah. And so they paused that picture, and now on all the homosexual activist sites, you have Matt Barber with his hand down like an effeminate homosexual, I suppose. And, you know, to that I say, look, if you could make Matt Barber, former heavyweight boxing contender, into an effeminate homosexual, then, yeah, you know, you can get just about anybody, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's their favorite thing to do. Is it says a lot about homosexual activists that the greatest insult that they can think of is to actually accuse their detractors of being homosexual themselves. And I know, as you've said in the past, Pete, you said, you know, but using that logic, I guess, you know, groups like, you know, pro-life organizations are really, you know, secretive and furtively pro-abortion.
And, yeah. And all those conservative Republicans, they're really yearning for a tax hike, right, John?
That's correct. Absolutely. Actually, unfortunately, some of them are.
Yeah. Especially in Illinois, right? Yeah.
Yeah, in Illinois, we got it bad. Yeah. Well, anyways, guys, we got a lot to talk about. Matt, give a one-minute discussion about how you came into this struggle. I know you had an incredible story where you actually fired by a Fortune 100 company, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your story, and then John.
Well, sure. I was kind of, you know, launched into this. Be careful what you pray for, because God may just give it to you in dramatic fashion. I was working at a major Fortune 100 company here in the Chicago area, in fact, and was feeling called to start writing some articles on various issues. I was writing on the war in Iraq and other issues from a conservative perspective, and I ended up writing an article titled "Intolerance Will Not Be Tolerated," ironically. And anyway, long story short, I was fired for writing this article. I wrote it on my own time. Did not identify who the employer I worked with at. One agent or one organization that published my article identified in the byline that I was working for this company. And on my own time, on a Saturday, had nothing to do with my work. Long story short, I was fired for it. But that ultimately, we filed a lawsuit, ended up settling out of court. But that launched me into what I do today. We're now in Virginia. I'm with Liberty Counsel and the Liberty University School of Law in Lynchburg, Virginia, associate dean there. And so now, you know, God will take what is intended for evil and use it for good. I found myself before that, right after this happened, within a year, living and working about, you know, a few blocks away from the Human Rights Campaign, a radical pro-homosexual organization that actually sought my head on a silver platter for writing the article.
Can I interject there?
Yeah.
It was a homosexual activist at Human Rights Campaign which sort of narked on you to the major corporation.
Exactly. And they said, you know, these homophobic values, does your organization embrace these values? Well, no, we don't. You know, the intimidation tactics of the homosexual activists to go after these major corporations and say, either you buy into our agenda 100% or you yourself are a homophobic corporation. So ultimately, they acquiesced and gave in to this pressure from the Human Rights Campaign. And I was fired. Best thing that ever happened to me, by the way. And so that's, you know, the tolerance and diversity of the self, you know, described proponents of tolerance and diversity. They often reveal that they are the most hateful and intolerant among us.
John Biver?
In a nutshell, in and out of politics for about 20 years, and not only learning the how the whole system works within government and within the political realm, but just seeing which policies are pursued. Matt and I were talking before we went on the air about the connection between the economic and social issues. People want to think that they're somehow different, but actually there's a right way to go in economics and there's a right way to go in the social issues. And that's, I've always found myself frustrated, particularly as someone who typically votes Republican, to see what they were doing economically. And now the same thing is a frustration on the social issues. And all we got to do is get more information to more people and find better leaders. And we can gain ground like we are with the Tea Party folks nationally. We can do the same thing when it comes to the social issues.
And, John, you've written some wonderfully insightful pieces. I loved your piece, the morality phobia. Watch out. What was it again?
Get over your morality phobia.
Get over your morality phobia, you know, because it is really like our opponents, our political and cultural opponents, they hate God's law, in a sense, on this particular issue. I mean, they might be in agreement on a number of issues, like we're going to be talking about the whole Go Proud controversy, this homosexual Republican group. They are conservative on some issues, you know, like the death penalty, I suppose, or whatever the issues are. But when it comes to their pet issue, homosexuality, they're all about mainstreaming that.
Can I interject? Yeah, I always talk about Go Proud. It's a tiny homosexual activist organization that labels itself as conservative. But what it really is, if you break it down and look at where they stand on the issues, Go Proud and the Log Cabin Republicans is another example. They are socio-liberal libertarians. So they're liberals first, especially and particularly on the social issues, but maybe on economic issues, maybe on some national defense issues, to some degree, they agree with conservatives. Well, that does not make them conservative. That makes them liberals who happen to be libertarian on some important issues. Yet this group has infiltrated, for instance, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, the largest gathering of conservatives in the country, held in Washington, D.C. every February. They are a part of that gathering now, that conference. And because of that, a number of true conservative organizations that are conservative on all the issues, Liberty Counsel being one of them. I know Americans for Truth, Pete, you as well. The Family Research Council, American Family Association, a number of Concerned Women for America, a number of organizations have said, look, CPAC, as long as you're going to abandon true conservatism, we're going to abandon you. And there is currently an ongoing boycott against CPAC because of the Go Proud's involvement.
Right, and we'll be talking about that. Now, before I go further, guys, Matt, your official title over at Liberty Counsel?
Yeah, I'm Director of Cultural Affairs with Liberty Counsel.
And you also have a position with Liberty Law School.
That's right. I'm Associate Dean at the law school as well.
So you're teaching a class there. Now, what's that class about, real quickly?
Yeah, I designed the curriculum, and it's really an answer to the homosexual activist courses that we see at Harvard and Yale and Georgetown and other places. They call their class Sexual Orientation in the Law, which is, they're basically just classes where they indoctrinate kids, and it's pure pro-homosexual propaganda. I teach a class. I designed the curriculum, taught it for the first time in the fall semester of this year, titled Sexual Behavior and the Law, because that's what it really is behavior. And I actually delve into the truth about how we have arrived where we are in law today. We address public policy issues, legal issues, and so forth from a Judeo-Christian perspective, and looking at our true legal history and the true history of our public policy in this country.
Right. Now, John, champion.net, what is the website?
Championnews.net.
Championnews.net, and what is your official title there?
I'm just the editor.
You're the editor. Okay.
Yeah.
And give us a short description of your morality phobia piece, because I think that's one of your best.
No, it's been a while since I read it, so I don't quite remember.
But the principle behind it is
people want to accuse us of homophobia, and I think they actually just can't stand the idea of right and wrong. They want to be able to pursue whatever they feel. You know, this isn't anything new to human nature, or human nature isn't evolving. You look at ancient writings, the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, and you look at the last 2,000 years, people have always been struggling with behavior that's conducive to civilization and behavior that's not.
Right. And you believe that homosexual behavior is not conducive to a healthy civilization.
I agree with all the major religions of the world and everything we've learned through history. Should have learned.
Not to mention uncompromising human biology.
Exactly. Nature does discriminate.
Okay, so Matt, your website is lc.org.
lc.org, lc.org, if people would like to learn more about Liberty Counsel.
And John, championnews.net.
.net, yes, sir.
Okay, we'll be right back with Matt Barber and John Biver. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. You can get all the past interviews on Americans for Truth at our website. Just go to the right side, hit Americans for Truth Hour, that button. They're all easily accessible with one hit. And so go back and listen to those, including interviews previous with both of these gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. In case you're listening for the first time, we are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing and exposing the powerful homosexual activist movement. We're talking today with two of our board members, our two board members, John Biver from championnews.net and Matt Barber, from Liberty Counsel, and they're both friends of mine, and these guys have written some extraordinary pieces on this issue. I'd encourage you to follow their work, read their pieces. Some of the articles they've written are extraordinary. I'm holding a copy of Whistleblower Magazine, which is put out by WorldNet Daily, and Matt and I both have pieces in this issue. Matt's piece was actually published on the web. It's called The Gay Death Style. The subhead is Shocker, CDC Reveals 1 in 5 Homosexuals in U.S. Cities Infected with HIV. My article is called The Zero-Sum Game of Gay Rights, Casualties Mount in the War Between Homosexual Activism and America's Freedom of Conscience. And we're offering this magazine for any gift to Americans for Truth. You can make a donation at americansfortruth.org. There's a donate button at the top, and so I'd encourage you to do that and also support these organizations. Matt, you are a veteran.
I am.
Tell us what happened. How did the homosexual activists push through the repeal of the ban on homosexuals in the military in a lame duck Congress?
Well, this is the ultimate manifestation of the radical left to include homosexual activists' misportrayal of homosexual behavior and the subculture as a civil rights issue. And they pushed it through in the United States military, which, as Rush Limbaugh often says, is designed to kill people and break things. They have severely undermined our national security now for 235 years since our nation's inception. For good reason, the military has held that homosexual conduct is incompatible with military service for obvious reasons. You don't want to have a bunch of men sharing the barracks or in a battlefield situation that are engaging in sexual behavior that may develop emotional ties to one another. I mean, that's just one of the many pitfalls associated with homosexualizing the military. They've pushed for this for years. This has been a crown jewel of the homosexual activist lobby. And finally, they have repealed the law, 654 Title 10 of the USC, Section 654 Title 10, which has prohibited homosexual behavior in the ranks of the armed services. So they have effectively homosexualized the military, and the military doesn't do anything halfway. They do everything 100%. There will now be a zero tolerance policy for any opposition to homosexual conduct, would be it a religious opposition, be it through the clear understanding of the medical pitfalls associated, the demonstrable medical pitfalls associated with homosexuality. So we now have homosexualized the military, as I often say. It's no wonder that, for instance, the Marine Corps, upwards of 60, in the high 60s, combat Marines did not want this to occur. And as I often say, it's because it's a little disquieting to wonder, you know, whether your foxhole buddy Pete has your back or wants to rub it. That's what I always say. But that's where we are today.
Okay, John has a question, and I got an important one for both of you guys.
Yeah, just a quick one, Matt. How are they going to make this work when individual soldiers still have their First Amendment right for freedom of religion? How do they make this work in the military? What they are doing is that they are telling these people that they cannot have moral judgment.
Well, that's a great question. Actually, soldiers do not have a First Amendment right in the military. The military, many constitutional privileges that are given to us as United States citizens. When you join the military, you waive a number of those privileges. Free okay. speech is one of them. Imagine there was an unfettered right to speech, free speech in the military, and you told your commander, well, no, I'm going to exercise my First Amendment right. I don't want to go storm that hill because I think it's wrong. Well, no. And so that's why this entire argument that it was a constitutional right for gays and lesbians to serve in the military was specious to begin with. There are many privileges that are removed. For instance, people with serious medical problems cannot. The military discriminates, has always discriminated. But the effect of it is that where the military once held that homosexual behavior was incompatible, now it has raised homosexual conduct to a level of suspect minority status, which essentially says that it's a privileged behavior, that it's actually raised to the level that any disagreement with that behavior within the military will now be verboten. People, chaplains, yeah. chaplains.
Let me interject here. Yeah. The report that was put out by Secretary Gates went out of its way to say they will try to preserve the individual right to object to homosexuality. But I really think that's a soft sell. They were trying to sell it to Congress, and there's no plan for how that's going to go forward. I mean, it also didn't talk about domestic partner benefits. They booted on that whole question. They put that off.
Is there a health barrier when you're enlisting? Do they subject you to any kind of physical to make sure?
Absolutely. And if you are HIV positive, you cannot get into the military. However, okay. When you look at the fact that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, recently came out with a study showing that one in major cities across the United States, one out of five gay men are HIV positive. When you also consider that there's a period of dormancy where they'll get false negatives or sometimes people who are HIV positive, it doesn't show up. And when you consider that
44% of the ones who were HIV positive did not know that they were HIV positive,
right,
according to that study.
And then when you consider that these men are going to be engaging in the behaviors in sodomy that causes HIV/AIDS while they're in the ranks of the armed services, and you consider that the Food and Drug Administration bans gay men from giving blood because of the risk to the general population, the medical aspect of this is another thing that you can't reconcile. So they've really put the cart before the horse here. They have not thought this thing through. Pete, you mentioned, go ahead.
It's rushed, and that's what's so scandalous about this.
It's a lame duck Congress.
It's a lame duck Congress. They did not study this report, and the report is this.
It's a push poll to begin with. The report was fraudulent.
Exactly. Yeah. But even the report, when you read the report, they admit that from the input they got outside of their push poll, the majority were opposed to the repeal of the ban on homosexuals in the military.
That's right.
So this was pushed through. Now, here's my political question for you guys. Do the Republicans, we're always bemoaning the Republicans, they're such wimps. Does the new Republican-led Congress, or at least the House, have the guts to take this on, to take on an attempt to repeal the repeal? How do you see it developing?
Well, it's been my view for a long time that 2011 and 2012 are going to be key years in the Republican Party. I'm an elected precinct committeeman, which is just a local non-paid political office at the precinct level. As in my role as a Republican, elected party Republican, I've seen this. The next 2 years is critical because for a long time, obviously, the Republican Party hasn't been great on the economic issues. Now they're starting to wake up. Now they've got a fork in the road when it comes to homosexuality primarily. I'm pretty confident that we're going to stay the pro-life party. But now there's a lot of, as you said, wimpy Republicans who have never taken the time to learn about it. They are uncomfortable with the topic. But, I mean, who likes talking about this anyway? But nevertheless, we have to deal with it. Between now and the end of the Republican presidential primaries, this party's got to make a decision on where it's going to go, because there's a lot of legislation that is still possible that could pass. Matt was saying before the show that there's plenty of Republicans that don't know enough that could still make a majority with the Democrats, and we can go the wrong way on.
Eight Republican senators, including Richard Burr in North Carolina. That was a shocker.
Yeah.
Including Ron Paul in the House. I mean, Matt, what do you think? What are the prospects here?
Well, they need to be educated, and that's what we're doing, and Pete, that's what you do, and that's what Americans for Truth is there for. And we need to educate them. There are a number of possibilities to roll this thing back. Obviously, we're pushing, for a repeal of the repeal, and if we get a Republican-led House, Senate, and a Republican in the Oval Office, a conservative in the Oval Office, there's no reason why, as I believe, the problems that are clearly burgeoning here with this, you know, what do you do about married housing? When two homosexual men get married in Massachusetts, they both join the military. Let's say they're even in the same battalion. They want to get married housing.
Are you laughing what he's saying, or just the concept of homosexual marriage?
The whole thing is just bizarre.
Well, so now we're using our military as a petri dish for radical San Francisco-style social experimentation. And so hopefully the Republicans will say, maybe we ought to roll this, you know, this Obama, you know, tambourine playing peacenik who is, the left hates the military to begin with. So what a dual victory here for the left. They get to undermine the military and they get to, get a crown jewel for the radical homosexual lobby. Hey, they get two birds with one stone here.
You're getting me depressed, though, man.
Is there a chance? Yes, there's a chance. But I think that the Republicans need to have the intestinal fortitude, and conservatives need to have the intestinal fortitude to push forward.
And it's the same with every issue. When you think about how far behind we are on this issue, getting people to understand what we're dealing with, there's no different when it comes to local, state, and the federal government. I mean, the whole apparatus is so out of control and so irresponsible. The debt being laid on future generations. The same guts it's going to take for these Republicans to learn about this issue so they can articulate it from their elected bully pulpit is the same guts it's going to take to roll back government and start to actually close agencies and get to a point where we can start paying down debt instead of increasing it at the governmental level.
Well said.
Well said. And Pat Tomey, the senator-elect from Pennsylvania, didn't he come out for the repeal?
I read that he sent a release.
Oh, good.
No. He came out. I read a couple press releases. I need to verify this, but Pat Tomey, the newly elected senator from Pennsylvania, allegedly came out in support of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or repealing the law.
Which is astonishing. He's signaling already that he's going
to go south.
He's
supposed to be conservative. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of educating to do. And unfortunately, a lot of our hope rests in the Republicans, and they don't really seem to often deserve it, especially on this issue where there's just a lot of cowardice. I'm afraid to call it what it is. We're talking with Matt Barber and John Biver here on the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And I'm sitting here in the studio talking with Matt Barber, who is the director of cultural affairs at the Liberty Council, and John Biver, who's an editor at championnews.net. They've got a lot of great stuff. They're based in Illinois, and there's a lot of Illinois focus, but really it's stuff that is important issues across the country.
As we tape today, our top story is an excellent article by Matt Barber. And it'll still be in the front page when this airs Saturday.
But isn't he
night.
A little soft on homosexuality?
You know, I would like to toughen up a little bit, but actually there's a link to his Matt's book.
The Right Hook.
Yeah, you can click on the link near the book, and you can find out about Matt Barber's book, which is a good read.
Hey, I was sitting in Matt's house watching some of his old fights.
Oh, that'd be cool.
If the homosexual activist can turn Matt into a femme, then anybody's a femme. Now, we're talking about 2010. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a femme, metaphorically speaking. He femmed out on defending marriage. I mean, what a wimp. Here's this bodybuilder. Talk about that, Matt.
Well, I mean, it's so many rhino Republicans, Republican in name only. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the granddaddy of the rhino Republicans. He's a social liberal, and in California he opposed Proposition 8, the law maintaining the age-old definition of marriage as between a man and a woman, and trying to prevent a radical redefining of marriage as between, you know, whoever in that state. And on this issue, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as well as a number of high-profile rhino Republicans, have thrown conservatism and really under the bus. And I know, John, you deal here in Illinois.
Matt, we have listeners all across the world. I got a letter from Norway. Define rhino.
Rhino, Republican in name only, and that is to say they're Democrats in Republican clothing, just a bunch of squishy liberals that, for whatever reason, put the stamp Republican on them. Mark Kirk here in the state of Illinois.
Yes, we'll be talking about Mark Kirk. Yeah. He sold us down the river on the repeal of on the ban on homosexuals in the military. But before we leave, Schwarzenegger, what happened was the Supreme Court struck down a single judge. Struck down Proposition 8, which was passed by what, 62%?
I don't know.
No, it was closer. It was 50.
52, I believe.
62 was before.
Right.
California keeps sliding downhill. Yeah. But what happened there? So he
refused, and the Attorney General refused. Brown refused to defend Proposition 8, which was the constitutional amendment maintaining the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. So he completely neglected his duty to defend the Constitution of California because of his own liberal ideology. But the case has gone forward. Judge Vaughn Walker, the judge you mentioned, who is all the major media outlets report that he himself is homosexual. I guess this was his swan song as he left. He's now retired from the court. But he essentially, for the first time ever, said that there is a constitutional right somehow that the framers of the California Constitution would have believed that Patrick Henry had a constitutional right to marry Henry Patrick, which is, of course, absurd. Our founders would have laughed their smocks off if you had said that a man could marry a man. This was the sin that dare not speak its name at that time. Yet that's what happens when you have constitutional revisionism and this living, breathing view of the Constitution. So here we go.
Okay,
in California.
You have one of my favorite lines, Matt, and you are quite the wordsmith, of this whole idea of the liberals. You know, before they could say that they were really for homosexual so-called marriage, They would say, oh, we're for civil unions. Mm-hmm. Then, what's your line about from civil unions to gay marriage?
Well, yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, this is indicative of our own movement. There are so many soft, kind of weak conservatives within our movement that the ick factor of homosexuality. So what we do is we spend time circling the wagons around protecting just the word marriage. I mean, we'll give them civil unions. We'll give them everything. We'll give them, you know, corporate benefits, federal benefits, you know,
let
domestic
them go into
partnerships.
The
let them indoctrinate children in our schools. But they just focusing on the word marriage. And I've often said, well, if you give them a mile, they'll take an inch. They'll take the final inch. And that's what we've done as a culture and as a movement, is we've given them almost everything they want. And of course, they're going to come back and say, nope, not enough. Now we want the word marriage.
Right. And when you have liberals and when you have people with a shallow moral foundation, it's not a big leap for them. In fact, there's a story up on the Americans for Truth blog about President Obama now saying his attitudes are evolving, quote unquote, on homosexual so-called marriage. Once you've caved in on the principle of homosexuality, either homosexual behavior is right or it's wrong. Once you've caved in on that, it's not a big thing to make that final cave in, and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, but you mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger and Pat Toomey. I've been around a lot of these elected and wanting to be elected people for you know, in enough circumstances to realize that they are followers. They are not really leaders. If there is a cultural uprising, they will respond. Mm-hmm. And they respond to good leaders and articulate leaders. We've got a few in Washington, actually, that are starting to address this in plain terminology. We haven't had enough of it. I know it seems like we've lost a great deal of ground. But on the other hand, we can win that ground back and start to go in the other direction if we get more people articulating and aggressively reaching more people on the reality of this issue.
But John, the key thing you said was they're being held accountable. There needs to be grassroots. And in this struggle, this Don't Ask, Don't Tell struggle, and which of course Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't even properly describe the law, which actually did ban homosexuals from serving in the military. You guys were sort of on the inside. We knew what was going on, and the grassroots wasn't there.
Yep.
Where were these? Forget the Republicans.
Yeah.
What about Democrats? Who's the guy in Nebraska? Ben Nelson.
Yeah, Ben Nelson.
There should have been intense grassroots pressure on him to protect the military.
See, I was not happy in the second Reagan administration with what was going on with the Republican Party. So I've been a critic of my party for a long time. So the fact that we're slow to come around or start to wake up on the social issues doesn't surprise me. These guys didn't even know how to govern when they had power in an early part of this past decade, 2006, they were finally thrown out of the Congress. If they can't get math right and balancing budgets right, it's not a surprise that they can't address the social issues, particularly human behavior when it comes to sexual.
And yet, Matt, there has been an erosion in the culture because this issue of homosexuals in the military was the issue that propelled the Republicans to power. I think it was what 1993.
It started in 93 with
Bill
with
Clinton tried
overreach.
To homosexualize. Yeah, Bill Clinton tried to homosexualize the military. It was scandalous. There was hearings, and the Republicans came in. Now they're basically a lot of conservatives, so called, are saying, "Hey, this really isn't an important issue."
Well, let's give some good news here. I mean, we've been talking about a lot of bad news. Here's the good news. The homosexual activist agenda is built on a house of cards.
Exactly.
Why do you suppose they never want to debate on the merits? They don't want to talk about the medical science, the demonstrable pitfalls associated with homosexual conduct, because they lose every time on that argument. They don't want to talk about, argue it from a theological standpoint. They'll try something small pockets, but they don't want to talk about the clear indication that the scripture is unequivocal that sexual behavior is immoral unless it's within the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. They don't want to talk about any of that. Once you start actually having that debate, they crumble. That house of cards crumbles. But we're not going to win this thing just trying to win it through legislation, just trying to win it in the realm of public policy. We have to change the hearts of men. We have to have another great awakening. Before every revival, there's an awakening. And so that's what we're doing now, is reaching out to people, awakening them. We have to change the hearts of men. The radical left has done a great job of couching this in terms of civil rights and labeling those.
They personalized
like
it.
They personalize. They call us haters and bigots and homophobes.
And they have the media on their side, and that is a huge thing. Even in this age of alternative media, And let's face it, a lot of the alternative media for conservatives is libertarian, or as Ryan Zorba calls them, liberaltarian. They don't care about this issue either. And so they've got this huge built-in advantage of the media not holding them accountable. We have tremendous personal stories. Yeah. Who's that, that nut, Autumn Sandine? He's a transgender activist. I talked to his wife, his ex-wife. She found out he was a he liked to wear dresses when she found a strange dress in that she was doing laundry, and she found a dress that wasn't hers. I mean, there are some incredible cases, victims of homosexuality, victims of this agenda, but they don't. Media doesn't allow those to be told.
And I know you've shared with me your conversations with her, and what a broken woman. You know, he just ripped her heart out with through his perversion and his gender perversion, his gender identity disorder. But that's just a microcosm of the whole larger transgender issue. But back to my point really quickly, Pete, we're going to win this thing. This is spiritual warfare. This is what, you know, if you take it up to a 30,000 foot level, this is a man saying we are God, and versus the our traditional Judeo-Christian worldview that says we are accountable to a sovereign God. And that he sets the standard. We're going to win every time on that, because truth is truth. God's objective truth is unwavering. Man's rebellion against that truth, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So what we need is revival. We need, and I'm never going to give up hope that our culture will have revival, spiritual revival, and this issue will be caught up in that revival, and people will see truth for what it is.
Culture is not the weather. I've written before that public opinion, a lot of politicians think the public opinion is like the weather. There's nothing you can do about it. The same with the culture. The fact that we are where we're at is not an accident. It's just the result of you know, people who have gotten media attention, the arts and the movies and whatnot. But this all can be pushed back. It's just we need better leadership, more aggressive leadership. We've got all the arguments on our side. It's the only reason we have lost ground is because we've failed to fight. There was somebody said about the Civil War, the North could have never lost that. All they would have, the reason it took 4 years is because they were fighting with one arm. If the South would have done better, they would have taken the other arm out and just crushed the South because of population, because of resources. It's the same with the arguments on the social issues. We just have to do better getting it out there.
Well, guys, we got 30 seconds to our next segment, and I want to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mant's got some special things to say about those wonderful chums of humanity. I will get their website out again. Mant is with Liberty Council. That's Liberty Council, lc.org, lc.org. And John Viver with championnews.net. So championnews.net, lc.org, and americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Mant Barber from Liberty Council and John Viver of the championnews.net. Mant, summarize what happened with the Southern Poverty Law Center declaring Americans for Truth, Family Research Council, American Family Association, and a number of other groups as official hate groups. How did you stay off that list? I really want to know.
I was very disappointed that the Southern Poverty Law Center did not include me among this esteemed group of organizations. The Southern Poverty Law Center, brief history for people who haven't heard of them. They're an Alabama-based organization founded by Morris Dees, a marketing expert, fundraising expert. They have, over the years, monitored the activities of bona fide hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi organizations, and so forth, providing a so-called intelligence report to local, you know, municipal, state, and federal law enforcement so that they could kind of keep an eye on what some of these potentially violent organizations were up to. Well, over the years, this SPLC has always been left-leaning. But in recent years, they have just gone off the deep end, off of the fringe left. They have become another leftist organization that is promoting a radical leftist agenda. So this was a calculated step by the Southern Poverty Law Center in order to try to marginalize groups like the Family Research Council, Americans for Truth, the American Family Association, and other very well-respected mainstream conservative and Christian organizations. They've labeled them officially as SPLC-designated, quote, hate groups. Well, Pete, as I pointed out in a couple articles, one I wrote with the Washington Times, and the other one, John, that you mentioned, that's going to be up on championnewsnot.net, that that the Southern Poverty Law Center has really done a disservice to itself and to the homosexual activist community here. They've marginalized themselves by really biting off more than they can chew here by engaging in this, as Bill Clinton called it, the politics of personal destruction, using ad hominem attack hyperbole in order to try to shut down the debate. As we mentioned earlier, we win when we debate the issues. They don't want to debate the issues. They want to smear and label people with using that the homosexual activist favorite smear word, hate.
And they're counting on the liberal media and liberals
to
in
take
general.
The ball and run with
it. Just say, okay, those are hate groups. It's already happening. You see some web filtering organizations and companies using the SPLC. The government works with the SPLC. So again, this is a matter of education, because we may say this is ridiculous, and of course it is, but a lot
of
people take it seriously.
Last summer, or the summer before, I think it was, that infamous right-wing extremist report that Janet Napolitano came out with, labeling pro-lifers and those who defend traditional marriage and Second Amendment to proponents and so forth as potentially dangerous right-wing extremists. Well, the SPLC was behind that 100%. They consulted, and it's no surprise that the Obama administration would be consulting with the SPLC to formulate these types of smear attacks. But the SPLC went after the Tea Party movement, and this is just a tool of the left that they've used for years to try to go after people by labeling them racists.
It's Saul Alinsky all the way, isn't it, John?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yes, and the media just is intellectually lazy or so far left they can't tell the difference. And they buy a lot of this.
Well, now let's get to that, because I think one of the big issues, again, and I don't want to get off this SPLC thing, but the issue of private censorship is what I'm calling it, which is the prelude, I believe, to the homosexual activist goal of public censorship, censoring views critical of homosexuality. Matt, describe what happened. We had the situation with the Manhattan Declaration. Its app for the iPhone was yanked by Apple. More and more we're seeing the media totally compliant to the homosexual activist side, and it's a form of censorship, and it sends the message, you can't even talk about this from a critical perspective.
Well, Dan Savage, I know one of your favorite critics, one of the people that go after you all the time, he just a hateful, hateful man. He has said, I've seen him on the media a couple times saying, and this is the homosexual activist latest talking point here, there is no other side when it comes to this issue. They said, would you give, you know, to the media, would you give the Ku Klux Klan an opportunity to share their side? There is no other side. Our side is the only side on this issue.
Yeah.
So the media is trying to shut down, and a complicit media and a sympathetic media is trying to shut down any debate.
And Savage is a great example. And the reason I think he is because he is guilty of committing objectively hateful acts. This is a man who licked the doorknobs, or maybe he did, maybe
with a
he
flu,
didn't.
Yeah.
He went to volunteer at Gary Bauer's office when Gary Bauer was running for president in Iowa, and licked the doorknob so he could give him a cold, and he coughed on his pen before he gave it to Gary Bauer. This is a guy who created a website called Santorum.com, which makes fun of Rick Santorum.
In ways you can't even say over the air, the FCC would yank your license.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an objectively hateful act, and yet this guy is out there saying there's no other view because it's all hatred. Who would take that seriously except for the media, John?
And the uninformed population that it unfortunately isn't hearing from leaders who have enough principle to just tell it like it is. I mean, there are a couple names out there. Mike Pence is saying some things from Indiana, a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Jim DeMint from South Carolina, U.S. Senator. But there's very few of them who have the brains or the backbone to just articulate it simply for folks to know that this kind of stuff happens and it's outrageous.
Michelle Bachmann is another one that comes to mind from Minnesota. Oh, yeah, she's tough on this issue and
good.
Others.
Well, and it's going to take people with courage, because basically, Matt, you know, it's like that the Wizard of Oz. Who's that guy behind the curtain? They're a tiny minority of people, and the activists don't even represent all people practicing homosexuality, but they have such power.
Well, there was a time when, you know, and I long for the days when to say something was Orwellian was hyperbole, that you were actually using that to try to make a point. And no, but this is Orwellian. The left's use in recent years of this Orwellian doublespeak and the way that they attack and the Saul Alinsky playbook, Rules for Radicals, as you point out, they're playing it to a T. And but we have to remember, too, the mainstream media. Yeah, we're losing in the media because they are the media.
Yeah.
So that we're up against.
And the good thing is, too, Matt, you're always making the point. You told me off the air a few days ago, just in a conversation, that whenever you bring up the medical repercussions of homosexual behavior, the homosexual activists don't like to talk about that. They know the medical stuff is off their talking points.
It's one of many Achilles heels for them. And so when I write an article that addresses the inarguable medical pitfalls associated with homosexual behavior, they ignore it. There's a blackout because they know that's one of their weakest points. And it doesn't fit the narrative that homosexual behavior is normal, natural, good, and a perfectly acceptable alternative. So when you point out that, no, it's not, they do not even want to go there.
Yeah, and it has real life implications. If you care about people practicing homosexuality, why would you want them to not know that 1 in 5 men who have sex with men has HIV and 44% of those don't even know it? I mean, it's astonishing. If this were about any other behavior, and Matt, you wrote in one of your articles, you say, let's say we had a group of people who defined their identity based upon a penchant for running headlong into brick walls.
Yeah.
would we call them wallies and not talk about the health risks of that behavior?
You know, no. People would naturally get together and say, hey, you know, but maybe, well, let's see, what's causing your brain damage? Well, it's running headlong into a wall. I think even liberals would say, maybe it's better if you don't run head first into a brick wall. Well, the same thing applies here. What's causing this massive spread of sexually transmitted disease, hepatitis, HIV, AIDS, on and on the list goes? Well, it's homosexual behavior. Maybe you should stop engaging in homosexual behavior.
John, 10 seconds on that.
15, 20 years ago, abortion, even amongst pro-lifers, was a loser politically. 15, 20 years, we can turn it around on this issue as well.
That's right.
That's right. I remember those days when they were saying the pro-life movement had been spent in Capitol Hill, and now look at it. All pro-lifers coming in from the last election. Folks, this has been the first of two parts of an interview with John Biver and Matt Barber, two great culture warriors. You can listen to this interview and all past interviews at AmericansForTruth.org. Please make a donation to Americans for Truth. We have far less money than our homosexual activist opponents. We'll be back next week. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.